No, I think protocol is a large basket catch-all term. You know, when we think about what protocol is you know, a lot of what he touched upon, where, you know, how do we approach and to whom do we pay homage to? Protocol is also, you know, how you approach a project. Culturally, does it require ceremony? Does it require permission? Does it require a chant? Does it require certain actions and thought processes before it actually starts? So each event that that utilizes quote unquote protocol is different, and everybody's approach is different. When you give an example of this person waking up in the morning and doing protocol, you know, for me that's a personal thing. Some people get up in the morning and they chant to the sun, and they start their day that way. I'm not sure if that's protocol. It's some sort of connectivity that's linked, perhaps to protocol, perhaps to ceremony, perhaps to a familial. Again, relationship with the rising of the sun. When I plant, I follow certain kinds of protocols. I wait for the right moons to plant certain kinds of things. Depending on the thing that I'm planting, I'll do a chant, something short. There's specific chants for specific kinds of plants. When I harvest, I have a little ahu in my garden. And you know, the first things that I pull up is what I place on the ahu, and I give a little prayer. Perhaps that's protocol, perhaps that's ceremony, perhaps it's a bit of both. So over here, the protocol is when you enter formally, you have to chant. And if you don't know how to chant, then we chant for you. It's that it's manners. For lack of a better word, it's manners. You announce yourself. You want to come in, and the thing is, you know, in the old days, if you chanted kahea out, you know, to a residence or to a place, you have to wait for a response. And if no more response, then you no go. It means that either nobody home, or they don't like you come. And stuff. So, utilizing that kind of thought process in the real world is not unusual today. There are myriad groups that utilize that kind of ceremonial protocol, and you know, calling that a ceremony is a little bit too heavy because it really isn't heavy in that sense. But it sets the stage for what is going to happen after. When you pow chant and then you hear somebody chant you in, you know that you're welcome, you know that there will be sharing, you know that you will be fed as a visitor, and there are also requirements of the visitor when they come. You know, like when you come to my house, the first day I'm gonna feed you and stuff like that. After that, you know where the fridge stay. Go make your own food. You know, you're only a Malihini for one day. And so then you have to start contributing to the whole process. So protocol is an interesting word. Because it's so huge and it can encompass big stuff, it can encompass small stuff. And then sometimes you don't need specific kinds of protocol. Just do them. Just go. Just do them. Because in a sense, ceremony and protocol encumbers one to be a certain way.
All the time.
All the time. And so sometimes, you know, they go, oh, we got a chant, we got a chant. We go, why? First of all, you got to figure out why. What is the purpose of lending your voice? What is the purpose of this protocol? You cannot do protocol just to do protocol. You have to think it through intellectually. How are you going to approach it? When you're going to approach it? Why you're going to approach it? and what is the outcome of that protocol? And if you can answer all of those questions, then you can start setting those things in place to change the mindset. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah. What about the people? Every hiker, everybody who sees on Instagram, you know, Bahpalihi Valley is cool. All the people going into the forest, just let them tromp through? Or is there some type of way that they could enter any hike or before any hike with a little more respect or reverence? Or could, is there a chant they could do or something they could do?
Well, I think that it really depends on the individual and what their intention is when they go in the forest. I tend to find that, you know, those who, a lot of those who live here and go into the forest, they tend to be respectful. They don't just trample. They don't, behind. You know, a lot of times they just, what I like to call it, they just go maho'oi to look.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine.
Yeah. Would it be better to chant before they go in? Or to say something?
Say something, yeah.
What should they say?
Greet the forest. Say, hi, hey, how's it? This me. Hey, how's it? This me. You know, I'm just one little speck in this huge universe of specks. You know, knowing your place in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. That for me, that's important. How you approach that. Of course, as a Hawaiian, I would prefer that you chant, but not everybody knows how to chant. Not everybody knows the words. And I would much rather you not chant if you don't know the words correctly. I see. There's some Maui at Dorono. If you don't know the words correctly, not just make up any kind, because for us, words are power. And so you utilize what power you have in your own system. You know, if it's in English, if it's in Japanese and stuff, then utilize that. But I see too often chants misappropriated. Within the forest context, in many contexts and stuff. So, unless it's a specific kind of chant, then I suggest that you open yourself up as a human being to this forest. And let your intentions be known. That's really what it is. Let your intentions be known.
I say as much as you can, try and stay out of the forest. You know, like, unless you gotta have a specific reason to go there. Like for me, we know that sometimes the most dangerous person in the forest is the person who think they know what they're doing, and they end up being more detrimental to the forest. Like, let's give an example. Like, oh, I'm gonna go to Home Depot. I'm gonna buy this nice ohia tree, and I'm gonna go plant it in the uplands. You know, the intention feels good. Like, they want to do the right thing. But you never know that you just introduced the new threat to the forest, because you never know that within that soil that you took up was a fungus or what have you, a pest that the forest never seen before, but you just introduced it. And then now, how are we going to control that? You know, so sometimes the people who are the innocent ones, who really think they're doing something good, sometimes end up being the most detrimental. So you got to be really cautious. Our forest and our watershed is under a lot of threat. We talk about it a lot when we do have groups up here. I mean, 90% of the native trees over here is all endemic. So found only here and nowhere else in the world. So on top of that, another true fact is one-third of the plants and animals on the invasive species list comes from Hawaii. So we're so vulnerable over here too. We're so beautiful and wonderful. Everything wants to grow here. But when you say everything, the weeds as well, the pests as well, because they know how valuable the forest is. So nature knows how valuable the forest is. That's why it wants more of it. And it ends up taking away from it and starts to lose its beauty. And if we lose our native forest, I mean, we lose the ability to live. And you can look at examples of islands that has no forest and those trees. You just know about the water, you know about erosion control, and then, you know, whatever happens up Mauka always affects everything below it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, before going hiking, or before going into the forest, understand what it's about and understand the importance it holds for our ability to live here, to breathe here, to drink water here, to survive here, to continue to be here, and for the future generations to be here. So if you're going in there, make sure Malama, like I said, the intention can kind of be good, but then you just might not know because you ignorance.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for us, we don't go over there unless we have a purpose.
Yeah, purpose. That's the one.
Yeah. Intention and purpose. I want to echo what you just said. Why are you going in the forest? What is your purpose? And does your presence in the forest help the forest? Yeah. Or is it detrimental? So like for us, we have a purpose. If I go up into what I call the Kuahu forest, then I'm usually going to gather as a practitioner. And so when we do that, then we do protocol. Yeah. We stand at the edge of the forest. We chant to the forest to clear our path, to keep us safe. Yeah. And then when we go and we find what we need for whatever purpose, whatever practice that we're doing, that we need that particular plant material, and we do the proper chants for that particular space and time for that plant. And then when we pow, where we chant it in is where we chant out. Yeah, and so it's like, if you go inside somebody's house and just go in the fridge and take, and I don't know who you are, and you rearrange my furniture without asking. That happens a lot. That happens a lot over here in Hawaii, where people come and for us, this is our home. Yeah, this is our home. And they come and they rearrange the furniture, and then when we come home, we're like, what the hell?
Exactly.
And it feels strange and it feels weird. If you're going to rearrange the furniture, ask first. Give us the opportunity to say no.
I like that.
I catch that a lot. Anyway.
I know what's happened with the opportunity to say no. Litigation, long term.
Yeah. And compromise is not great either. Because when you compromise, nobody's satisfied.
But you guys, you're just talking about a completely different thing from like on Oahu, where people just, thousands of people just go hiking for the hell of it all over every weekend.
Well, I see the attraction. There's a human basic necessity to reconnect to the elements.
Is he going
to
ask themselves, basic, what is my purpose? Is this better for the forest that I go? No!
So you got to shift your thinking, because I understand the need for people to go into the elements, because they don't know how to articulate it. Yeah, for some people it's the ocean, that they feel better. They have a reconnected, they feel reborn. Some people it's the forest, when they go inside, that they feel like they're part of something bigger, although they cannot articulate it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful not to become myopic about it, in the sense that, I'm only doing this to re-energize my battery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, great. The ocean would re-energize you and you feel all reborn. Okay, so what you gonna do in return?
Yeah,
what you gonna do? Yeah, so it's become, I understand it, but I'm like, okay, so stop being so selfish.
Yeah. Protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a type of protocol, I think. So what you gonna do? And so I remember Uncle Harry Mitchell saying that, he used to make fun of people. And I'm guilty of this too, because, I'm a child of this time, where we go beach and we lay on the beach. and there's no purpose to just lay on the beach. Yeah, but people do it. I've done it. It's family time, it's whatever the case might be, but he will go, chat. If you're going to go beach, go do something, gather something, go fish, go to kind. We don't go out there and just lay on the towel. Okay, yes, Uncle Harry. But there's a strong truth to that. There's a strong truth to that, you know. And every time I go, you know, and I don't do it very often now because of that. Every time I go beach, you know, and I put the towel down and I just lay there. I'm twiddling my thumbs. I'm like, okay, I should get one pole. I should go, you know, go pick up rubbish. I should do something, yeah, you know, yeah, instead of just lay there like a lump. You know,
see. Yeah, mate. The Vol Kanaka is where we should be hanging around. You know, it's kind of where the man should be dwelling and cruising. You know, and maybe Kumukeri can touch on more on that and the importance of the Vol Kua and the Vol Nahele. And this is the places where, you know, man not supposed to be roaming unless you have a purpose or function. So, What intrigues me about our people, Kanaka, is we understood the importance of all these different elements in the forest. And I think Kelly hit it right on the head. What are you doing to give back? So Hawaiians are so good, Kanaka were so good at understanding the hydrological cycle, condensation, evaporation, all these types of things that we talk about in the science world. We not only understood it, we improved it. You know, we gave back. We found a way to improve the cycle, not take from it. So like right now, development and the way we operate is not Mauka to Makai. It's across. And when you go across the land, no more really connection. You're breaking off, let's say, if I cut off the circulation in my arm, what can happen to the lower half? You know, it ends up dying or whatever, you know, or not surviving. So Kanaka understood the importance of Mauka to Makai, connectivity, having the water flow from top to bottom and not breaking up that cycle. And, you know, I think that's why I think it's so important for this site and Halau Keala Kamaile, Kapu'au, this is a great opportunity to share these values that I think was lost and we can still incorporate into corporate structure. And understanding what is our place, what is our role as man, woman, whatever, Kanaka, and where we belong and where we need to be and what we can do to contribute, like Kay said, how we can give back.